Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. As the universe of sports action stays on pause due to the coronavirus pandemic, there's a new sports channel arriving through smart TV sets and connected devices, Players TV. Chief Executive Officer Nancy Tignataro joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Wayne Brady is spending some of his Let's Make a Deal off hours mentoring a group of young humor generators via the new BYU TV series, Wayne Brady's Comedy IQ. Learn how Mr. Bean is doing from executive producer Michelle Collins and Kevin Dill. They're on next half hour. And next hour, Mastermind wraps up its first week as Game Show Network's newest Knowledge Meeting of the Minds. We'll check in with executive producer Brendan Huntington, from Los Angeles, at the top of the hour. Also ahead, new primetime movie showcases, Craig T. Nelson's TV return, and our new, that's new, classic trivia winner. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, it's Good Friday 2020, and tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. We are delighted you're with us on this Good Friday of 2020, second day of Passover for some of you as well. And we thank you for tuning in, wherever you are, to the program All About Television. We got a big 9-minute edition for you. 47 degrees at the top of the hour, a lot to get to, and we want to do it with you being involved with us. So anytime you like, pick up the phone, dial in, use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. Our chat room is open for business. We've got some people already in the room, so go ahead and use it. SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, as always, you can connect others to you by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk, Speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Nancy Tignataro from Players TV will be live with us from Tampa, Florida, after these news notes. And believe me, for a Good Friday 2020, we have a lot of them for you. Remember when, way back when, movie nights were a major part of a weekly primetime lineup on major television networks? Starting tonight, they're back. USA, Sci-Fi, and E! Will kick off a temporary 3-week run of Harry Potter's simulcast films, with Telemundo playing animated features in Spanish the next 3 Saturdays, beginning tomorrow with Kung Fu Panda. Charter will sponsor both stay-in theater initiatives for those NBC Universal-owned channels. Separately, CBS will devote Sunday nights in May to movies starting May 3rd, with Raiders of the Lost Ark. Paramount, part of Viacom CBS, will supply all 5 CBS presentations. Craig T. Nelson is moving back into a TV series commitment. The former star of Coach and the District will headline The Operative, a post-Cold War spy tale written and produced by his son, Noah Nelson. Landmark Media Group will make The Operative, where it will run has not been finalized. And now some quickies. In the last half hour, we have learned that Peacock is now set. That mega streaming service from NBC Universal is set to launch on time, April 15th, on Comcast cable systems using the X1 or Flex platform. And we've also learned that while HBO Max is still set to launch a month later, in May, the Friends reunion special that was going to try to be on there during launch will not. It has been delayed. We don't know when it will be running on that service. Once again, HBO Max is still set to premiere that mega-performing service from WarnerMedia sometime before the end of May. Now more quickies. A Disney Family sing-along special will run on ABC next Thursday night. Guests include Christina Aguilera and Josh Gad. RuPaul's Secret Celebrity Drag Race miniseries is set to move on VH1 April 24th. Telemundo will expand Daily Lobo Dia Morning Show, that's another day, another 30 minutes, Monday, running from 7 to 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Reason? Expanded coverage of the coronavirus pandemic. The Last Show Left on Earth, the new comedy variety miniseries from Second City, the famed comedy troupe, will debut on Topic April 16th. Topic is currently on most smart TV connected devices. Amy Schumer started work on an 8-episode Learns to Cook Food Network series, self-shot while being quarantined from home because of course, the coronavirus. And new Southern Gothic mystery series Paradise Lost will debut Monday via Charter Spectrum's Video On Demand Originals Venture. The cast is led by Josh Hartnett, Bridget Regan, and Nick Nolte. The first episode directed by the director of The Blind Side, the movie with Sandra Bullock, John Lee Hancock. We will have more to say about this because we will have a guest 1 week from today, involved very bigly with Conrad Claus on this very program. More about that, as I said, later in the program. And that is News Notes for today. Believe it or not, while there is no big sports activity happening because of the coronavirus situation, there is a brand new network dealing with the world of sports lifestyle and culture. It's called Players TV. It launched a few weeks ago on Samsung Smart TV sets, and it may be coming soon to a Smart TV set or device near you. Joining us live from Tampa, Florida, and Airbnb exclusive, the chief executive officer of this new venture, formerly was involved in such ventures as MLR Music Television and the Tennis Channel in senior executive positions. We welcome in Nancy Pinatore. Nancy, good Friday 2020 to you.
Thank you, Simon. Same to you. I love the energy of this show. I'm on the edge of my seat with this.
Absolutely. So tell us where Players TV is at a few weeks in.
Yeah, so we're at it and out and about in a very big way. We officially launched on March 25th with Samsung TV Plus, their free entertainment service that you can access through Samsung Smart TVs. And we are positioned in a premium location during this promotional time on channel 1003, and so it's effectively been 16 days, and enjoying this immensely. So broad reach in the United States, and next week they're going to be rolling us out to Canada and the UK.
Do you find it ironic, Nancy, that this network is launching at a time when pretty much the entire sports world, because of the coronavirus pandemic, is halted?
Well, it is ironic, but it's been in the plans for a long time, so none of us could have certainly predicted, the pandemic. So, we've been working very hard to get this channel ready for launch for Q1, working diligently with an advisory board and an executive team for the past, 2 years, 18 months to 2 years, to stand this up in time for Q1 launch. So certainly never planned the pandemic, but yes, ironic because, we're all starving for live sports coverage, a lot of us, and while we don't have live competition, we do now have a channel that's, dedicated to these elite athletes in different ways. We now can see them and get a little more intimate and up close and personal with these athletes off the field and off the court and away from the competition. So, it's an unfortunate time for the world, but ironically, it's a good time for Players TV.
Mm-hmm. Want to welcome Purple Pill into our chat room. Simon Apple 04, my name. Welcome in. You have a question or comment, put it in the room or use the phone, 646-652-2906. How does your network define sports culture or sports lifestyle?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a good question. So essentially, it's really defined by, the athletes. The athletes are defining that. Because we know them in one way, first and foremost, as professionals, just like you're a professional in your job and I am in mine. We know athletes, at the height, at the peak of their performance, which is, competing against others in the form of competition. But there is a lifestyle, there is a culture beyond, what that is, and it's these athletes off the field and off the court in what they spend with how they spend their extra time, what their hobbies are, what their creative interests are, how they live in a social and a personal manner. And that in and of itself really is, definition of lifestyle and culture. So the Players TV wants to capture this other side and showcase this other side of athletes that we really, as sports fans, only know one way. They lead very interesting, intriguing lives outside of their day jobs. And they showcase it through other hobbies and interests, be it, being a wine vineyard, owner, or, interested in playing other sports, outside of their core occupation. Perhaps, interested in becoming, doing acting, performing on the screen, or, creating podcasts to express themselves in different ways. So all of that really rolls up into definition of, lifestyle and culture.
We're speaking with Nancy Pingitore. She's the Chief Executive Officer of Players TV, the new television service on sports, culture, and lifestyle. It's available right now on Samsung Smart TV sets. So if you have a Samsung Smart TV set, wherever you are, you can get this channel immediately. Nancy joins us live from Tampa, Florida this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Found out I'm with you. We're just getting started on this Good Friday 2020. Delighted you're with us, wherever you're catching us on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, as well as TuneIn Radio, plus the IR Radio Podcast Network. And if a question or comment for our guests, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04. We just got somebody into the room, so please go ahead and use it or make that call. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will meet the producer and star of a recent movie that has gotten a big lift on Netflix. The movie is called Badland. The star is Kevin Macon, and we will have him live in our first half hour because Netflix has gotten so well with that particular film, it's now one of the top movie attractions on that service. And then we'll introduce you to the people behind what may be the most unique new television service you will find anywhere this year. It deals with a brand new genre for television, motion art. The project is called Loop, L-O-U-P-E, and it recently started on Apple TV. And you'll hear about it from the people who made it happen, the Chief Executive Officer, Dr. Stolo, and the Chief Creator, Nicole Kurtz. They'll both be with us live and exclusive Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What kind of programming, what are some of the series, and who are the athletes involved in your service, Nancy?
Athletes involved in our service, we have many, and we are about the collective, but ones that we can certainly speak to today and that have, been covered so far, through other press stories, we have Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, C.J. McCollum, Vernon Davis, Garrett Temple, Anthony Tolliver. We've just locked up, which I can't give you the exclusive at this point in time, Simon, but we're going to be announcing probably within the next 10, 14 days. We've locked up a couple of pretty big names in MLB, in the MLB league. And so our athletes cut across, all the major sports. And they are involved as investors, as content providers, as marketing ambassadors. So they're very much, a big part of what Players TV is, what it represents. It's about them.
And what kind of content, what kind of programs are they producing or expect to produce? Are they looking at unscripted shows that are of instructional or entertainment nature, looking at reality, or looking at maybe scripted television in some way, maybe semi-scripted?
Yeah, so we have a great mix of entertaining shows, and our strategy is representative of that. It's a good mix of comedy, human interest, documentaries, reality, talk, and interviews. So it really cuts across a wide swath of genres. Some examples of that, we have some great shows that are, scheduled in our mix and that we're also showcasing starting next weekend because we continue to, aggregate and license and produce content and it's, the flow is coming in on a weekly basis. But a few highlights of some of the shows you'll see on Players TV. We have this comedy series that has been seen a little bit, you know, elsewhere, but is now going to, you know, also find its way on our platform. It's the Baron Davis WTF comedy series. We have, which is essentially Baron Davis is a, you know, retired NBA All-Star player, and it's a great comedy series where he's actually mentoring a social media star, and it's got a lot of great storylines. We just did an original production with DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre, another NBA player, he's on a quest to lead a very clean living and mindful life. So we have an original series with him, and he takes us through all the crazy and bizarre and challenging experiences with leading a vegan lifestyle. We have a great show with Danny Green, a former Toronto Raptor player, called Beyond the Arc, which where he spends his past summer in Canada touring six different cities. We have interviews that have been produced by a partner of ours, Close Up 360, that covers topics on NBA players, their journeys, personal branding, career development. We have MVP, which is a takeoff of The Shark Tank, which is Most Valuable Partner, and it stars the Gronk, you know, our former beloved New England Patriots player, and many other professional athletes. So it's a very good mix of reality and comedy, human interest, lifestyle type series like that.
How did the adventure come together in the first place? It was not just athlete driven, but I understand that there's a player called Anthem Sports, which in the last couple of years has really got involved more with television because they took over AXX from Mark Cuban. The Music Network, formerly known as HDNet. They also now have Impact Wrestling, which is one of the top pro wrestling programs on television and pro wrestling leagues. And they are definitely out to do a lot more as well in various parts of television.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So Players TV actually came about by the impetus of Players TV is came from two gentlemen, Colin Costella, who is a very successful instructor, basketball instructor and trainer, and he's got a very successful channel on YouTube called Shot Mechanics. So Colin and his partner, Jerron Guidry, who is a digital marketing executive, has been in the sports marketing space for a long time. Those two gentlemen actually came up with this idea a couple years ago when they were, you know, working in the marketing and sports space and seeing that there were some things in our industry that were a little bit problematic for athletes, you know, who were positioning and showcasing their content on different platforms. And they felt that there was a better way to do this, to bring athletes and fans together. Hence, you know, Players TV, a central destination for athletes to showcase their lifestyle and culture, with, you know, to their sports fans. And in the process of building out this service, Simon, you know, of course, we go through, like any startup, you go through a fundraise, you go through identifying potential strategic partners, you know, you plot out your go-to-market strategy, and Anthem Sports and Entertainment, a fantastic organization headquartered out of Canada, a media conglomerate that owns a half dozen different channels, including Access, which you just referenced, are also in the sports, let's call it live sports and sports lifestyle space. And, you know, we got introduced to them by one of our advisory board members, and felt that we were culturally, it was a very good fit. The businesses, you know, were aligned in a lot of ways in the way that we operate and what were our visions are. And so Anthem came on board early on as an investor and as a strategic partner, you know, providing advertising resources, production resources, things of that nature. So they've been a great partner in our growth.
We're talking about the new sports, lifestyle, and culture service Players TV. It's been available for several weeks now on Samsung Smart TV sets all over the place. And we have Nancy Pinator, the Chief Executive Officer, joining us live on our program today, Good Friday 2020, live from Tampa, Florida. Good to have you with us as well. Simon Appleton with you from New York, where it's 47 degrees at the top of the hour on this Good Friday and second day of Passover 2020. You're listening to the program All About Television, and if you have a question or comment on meeting this with Nancy, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple041. Another person just got into the room. As I mentioned in the news notes, coming up this Monday, Charter Spectrum will be starting its newest original series on video on demand. It's called Paradise Lost, the Southern Gothic Mystery Series, starring Josh Harnett, Bridget Regan, and Nick Nolte. And Friday, 1 week from today on Smart We Televised, one of our guests will be the person who put it together, the executive producer, creator, and writer, Rose Fishburne. That's Rose Fishburne, an exclusive interview with us next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Nancy, saying at the same time, a number of sports celebrities forming their own production companies. You got LeBron James and his partner Maverick Carter with Spring Hill doing Survivor's Remorse. He's been a big hit on Star the last couple of years. He's got The Wall on NBC. He's looking at doing other things as well. Steph Curry did Holy Moly for ABC last year. That is coming back. Kevin Durant has formed a production company. Dwayne Wade has a series coming out with his own venture. What do you think about the idea of athletes creating their own TV ventures and becoming, you know, entrepreneurs in the media, or trying to be?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I mean, it certainly is helpful to Players TV, isn't it? Especially when we're when we're harnessing as many of these players as possible, you know, to participate in this or and to support this vision, which is, you know, giving them a place to be creative and to show their talents from a content production standpoint. We've identified over 100 or close to 100 athletes, I should say, that have their own production studios. And many of them, you know, are dabbling in the realm of media entertainment. I think, you know, for most, they're thinking about their next career, and they're thinking about, you know, building their brand in different ways and showing an extension of themselves in a creative fashion. And they're all, I think, very interested in controlling their own IP. You know, when they are interviewed by, you know, reporters and other major sports brands, you know, very often, you know, we love our athletes when they're performing great. And then when they have a hiccup, you know, sometimes, you know, we're critical and we cut them down. When these athletes are creating their own production companies and are producing their own content and have control of, you know, their storyline, you know, that's really, you know, their interest. You know, it's an opportunity for them to be in control of their narrative. And that's I think that's one of the primary reasons why we're seeing a lot of these athletes wanting to step into the, you know, creative circles. There are a handful of athletes that are associated with Players TV, all of whom have got their own production studios. You know, Chris Paul's got ODIP. And as you said before, you know, Dwayne Wade has his own production studio, 59th and Prairie Entertainment. DeAndre Jordan has got a studio called Treehouse Media LLC, or it's his entertainment, you know, company. You know, you'll see a lot more of this because they are thinking about their next chapter, and many of them have got great stories to tell.
If you don't have Samsung, how soon are you going to get Players? What efforts are there to go on other smart sets as well as Amazon Fire TV, Roku, Chromecast, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. Well, naturally, of course, Simon, we are, you know, we don't just stop with Samsung. But, you know, they are our first distribution partner, very important to us. They've been amazing to us and are putting forth a lot of marketing and PR muscle to, you know, help position Players TV for great success. And in parallel to this, you know, launch and getting to this point in time, we are talking with a half dozen other distribution companies in the OTT space, in particular, for distribution in 2020. There are three of them, I'm going to withhold the names for now, but there are three of them in particular that we are, you know, sharing terms with, you know, passing a term sheet across the desk, if you will. And those three, I mean, I can tell you of those three, you know, they are in the two of them are in the OTT service space, and another is in the, you know, mobile phone space. So if you were to add up the numbers, you know, we're looking at probably another, I would say, 50 or 60 million homes that can access Players TV over the course of the next, you know, 4 to 6 months.
Before we go, Nancy, how ambitious do you see this network getting? And how is this virus impacting your ability to get there when you want to?
Say that first part of that question again. I didn't get all of that. Simon.
That's okay, Nancy. How ambitious do you see Players TV? Do you see it being a home for, let's say, where sports lifestyle can be anything from, because you already have a scripted comedy, let's say scripted drama, let's say ambitious unscripted reality, all sorts of unique, maybe varieties or whatever, all sorts of different, you know, expansion of this genre. But also because of the coronavirus out there, which right now has basically shut down the Hollywood production community, the New York production community, how soon do you think you can make that ambition reality?
Yes, well, it's actually happening now, Simon. I mean, one of the great things about our industry is innovation and technology. So, you know, while people are, you know, relegated to the home fronts because of COVID, I mean, there's technology that allows people, athletes, people in Hollywood, you know, to still be productive and creative with different forms of technology that allow them to produce, you know, unique and original programs. And so we're leveraging that technology and working with the athletes of Players TV to set them up so that they can continue to, you know, produce content and learn on new and different types of software programs and, you know, production-oriented devices that would, you know, aren't commonly used, you know, or as we're familiar with. So in our focus is also to get a very good mix and good blend of genres. So we don't want to, you know, be heavy on the documentary side, or heavy on the, you know, interview side. We want an excellent blend of that. So about 70%+ of our programming is, you know, licensed programming, aggregated programming, and about 30% of that will be original productions, where we will either create shows, you know, Players TV will underwrite and produce original shows, or we will collaborate with partners and with athletes to do, you know, passion projects or something, you know, create something that we feel is essential, you know, to the vision of Players TV. So there's no restrictions with us. The thing that we want to make absolutely certain that we put forth and that we always support is that it's entertaining, it's accessible to all the sports fans, and it's a safe and trusted platform for athletes to show themselves in a different light and to show their creativity in a different way.
If you have a Samsung Smart TV set, you can now see Players TV. Other Smart TV sets, devices will be coming online soon. And Nancy, is there a website that people can go to find out more about the network?
Well, yes. I mean, we have players-media.com, and we also have playerstv. I believe it's .co, but players-com is a good place to go if you want to insert some questions and get more information, because a lot of the people on the executive team are receiving those questions and responding to them. So players-media and playerstv.co.
Nancy Pignatore, the Chief Executive of Players TV, thank you so much for joining us, kicking off our Good Friday 2020 episode. All the best to you and everybody involved. Congrats on getting the network off the ground, and hopefully much more ahead.
Thank you so much, Simon, and same to you. Be safe and continued good health, and appreciate the opportunity to speak about Players TV on your show. Thank you.
We'll make it happen, Nancy. Take care. All the greatest. Enjoy the weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Nancy Pignatore, Chief Executive of Players TV, now available on smart TV sets from Samsung. When we come back, Wayne Brady is back in action off Let's Make a Deal, and this time he's playing mentor to a group of possible new comedy superstars. The show's Comedy Idea premiered this past Monday on BYU TV. The executive producers, Michelle Collins and Kevin Dill, will join us live from Los Angeles. Plus, our newest classic trivia question winner, we'll tell you who that is, and the answer to, that's all after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You connect to the best internet radio in the galaxy, www.blondtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tunein.com, together reaching over 40 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And don't forget the TuneIn Radio is your home 24-7 for the Coronavirus News Channel. Get the latest updates on the situation all over the world, plus podcasts and original produced material. That's the Coronavirus News Channel operating 24-7 at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to Part 2 of Tomorrow Be Told Live, 98 episode coming your way on Good Friday, 2020, second day of Passover as well. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 47 degrees at the top of the hour. Delighted you're with us. More great guests coming your way over the next hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. And all it takes is a phone call from you, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Over the decades, we've come to know Wayne Brady as a terrific improv comedy star in Whose Line Is It Anyway, first on Comedy Central, then ABC, and of course, also on the CW, with a brand new season coming up this summer. We've known him for the last decade or more as the host of Let's Make a Deal, one of the top game shows in all television on CBS, every morning at 10 a.m. Eastern and Pacific time. And we've also come to know him from his talk show, which ran for a couple of years in syndication. But as of Monday, BYU TV viewers, that's BYU Brigham University's National Cable Channel, came to know him in a different way, as mentor in a new comedy competition where six young folks get the opportunity to play in the world of comedy. And that's why it's called Wayne Brady's Comedy IQ. Joining us live from Los Angeles, the two people who executive produced the program, Michelle Collins and Kevin Dill. Michelle and Kevin, welcome in.
Thank you so much, Simon.
Hi.
We really appreciate it. We're excited to be on.
Yes,
it's a pleasure.
Thanks for having
excited
us.
To have
I
you
love
on.
Your energy.
Thank you very much, Kevin and Michelle. Really appreciate it. And Michelle, we'll start with you. This, I think, may be a surprise for a lot of people, that for all the places Wayne Brady can go, given the fact he's very busy most of the year with Let's Make a Deal on CBS, and during the summer with Who Guys Anyway on the CW, that Wayne Brady, BYU TV, how did it happen?
Well, Wayne is a family guy. He's definitely a family guy, and he was looking for to partner up with a company that was a family-friendly company as well. And he loved that they wanted to make a very sweet, very wonderful show about kids and mentoring kids, and his actual process that he does with kids. So it was just a great partnership when we met with BYU TV. We really gelled well with them because they didn't want to make a mean-spirited show. They wanted to make something that was family-friendly, that all the family could collect and watch together and just have fun. And I think that's just exactly what we made. So it was a perfect fit for Wayne and Mandy.
Kevin, how long have you and Michelle worked together, and did you try to do something with Wayne before?
Michelle and I have known each other probably 20-plus years, Michelle, about right?
Yeah, crazy, yeah.
So we've had Intuitive for probably 17 years or so. So we have been making television for a long time. I would say between Michelle and myself, we've probably done every job in the TV business. That's sort of our pitch. We did a couple other shows with kids. We did a Pop Game on Lifetime and the Rap Game on Lifetime. I don't know if you ever saw that with Jermaine Dupri. And It was so, sort of similar type show where Jermaine was looking for a young rapper. Jermaine did, he was a producer of Bow Wow and DeBrat and people like that when they were little, and Chris Press. So Wayne had came to us, I would say, you know, a couple of years or so ago, and said he wanted to do a show like that, the Mentor Kids. And that's when we kind of together formed the idea for the Comedy Game. And we went out and pitched it, found a great partner with BYU, and finally got it on the air.
Michelle, what is the trick to doing a program that is A, family-friendly, B, is a competition, and also C, trying to be aspirational, because you're really trying to give through you, through your show, through Wayne, et cetera, a message to kids that, you know, hey, if you've got a dream like this, there's an avenue that perhaps you can accomplish it.
Yes, that's a good question. It's actually following the kids' lead, right? So, you know, we set up challenges. Wayne was so great with that, setting up challenges and finding out exactly how to push their buttons enough to get what he needed out of them in a very positive way. So he would mentor them in every single challenge and make sure that we were getting the best from them. But that doesn't mean that they don't have challenges along the way. It doesn't mean that they didn't get upset or fall and have to get up and brush themselves off. So it was still really tough for the kids, but they also learned so much in the process. So I think if you follow their lead, which we really did, and watched what was going on with them, it was less about the competition, meaning them fighting between them, and more the competition they had within themselves, competing against themselves to be the best that they could be. And I think that's what really was the magic of the show and shows like this. If you follow the kids' lead, they're always going to push themselves harder than anyone else can. And so Wayne just really nurtured that along the way.
Yeah, if I can add to that, I think go ahead. I was just going to say I think that was really important to Wayne when we talked about the creative of the show. It was like going through this Wayne Brady boot camp as well as teaching these kids some life lessons. That was really important to him, and I think he did that in the show. So it's, you know, it's not about just making people laugh. It's about having thick skin. It's about understanding as much as you can about life and, you know, experiencing, so you can then turn that into comedy. And I think that really resonated with this particular group of kids. So I think we're really successful in showing that in the show.
Let's take it a little bit, Kevin. What life lessons did Wayne want to really emphasize here?
Well, you know, each one of the shows is essentially based on a life lesson that Wayne experienced during his, you know, 30, 40-year comedy career, essentially. So, like, specifically, there was one challenge. I'm going to really shorten this up and probably bungle it a little bit, but Wayne worked at a theme park, I think in maybe either Florida or in California, and he took the challenge of himself. They put him in a costume, big kind of, like, I don't know, some sort of Disney costume or Universal costume or something, and he wanted to be the best Snoopy or whatever he could be in that costume. So he just took a challenge of himself that he wanted to still make people laugh and just not be kind of like the big furry guy walking around on the streets, you know? So we turned that into a challenge in our show, which you'll see in this upcoming week, about how he took it from his real life and we implemented it into the story of the show and then tossed it out to the kids and you see what they do with it.
We're speaking with the executive producers of Wayne Brady's Comedy IQ. It's the brand new comedy competition series, family friendly. That's on Brigham Young University Television, the national cable network, available all over the country. The program, by the way, runs on Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific time. And the executive producers, Michelle Collins and Kevin Dale, along with us from Los Angeles this half hour, on tomorrow will be televised. Simon Apple, I'm with you live from New York. If you just joined us, very good Friday or second day of Passover 2020 to all of you. And we're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, where we're simulcast. If you have a question or comment for our guests, don't be shy. Pick up that phone. Use this number, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 0489. Want to welcome Mitch and Mitchell into the room. If you have a question or comment, put in the room or make the call, and we will hear from you. Don't forget, next Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll have Kevin Minkley, the producer and star of the movie Badlands, that has gotten a huge break in recent weeks. And we'll also have Papu Cello and Nicole Cutes, They are the chief executive officer and chief creator, respectively, of Loop, L-O-U-P-E. It may be the most unique new television service to go on the medium this year. It's on Apple TV, just started, and it's all about the new genre of motion art. We bring out all for you on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Michelle, one thing that's true, starting with the first episode, is that, Michelle, by the way, for some reason we're having some static, and it may be at your end, and if so, I want to apologize, wherever it is, to our listeners. We'll get through it. So Michelle and Kevin, I want to alert our... Yeah, now you're fine. Okay, now we're back. So thank you very much for whatever you had to do on your end, Michelle and Kevin. Michelle, one of the things that came through from the opening episode and also from the trailer is that if you're going to make it in the world of comedy, it's not all about just standing up in front of a stage and memorizing routine and just telling it in a spotlight or, you know, getting a role on a television show and being a character. You have to sing, you have to move, you've got to improvise, you've got to be with people, and it seems that that's the running, one of the big running themes, or as Ken was saying, life lessons, that shows up here.
That's a good point. The big mandate for all of us going into it and our vision for it is that, and Wayne was so clear with this, that we wanted to get kids that were a quadruple threat, right? So they didn't just dance. They didn't just do comedy. They didn't just – so they had to dip their toe in all of those things to be successful because kids think, oh, I just want to be a star. I want to be on TV. I want to do be on a YouTube channel. But really, they don't realize the work that it takes to get into being on a television show. So we really wanted to find kids that weren't afraid to dip their toe in all those different things. And I think that's the scariest part for the kids along the way, because some were really good at comedy and or some were really good at dance or really good at singing, but they had to do all the different challenges in order to do well in this competition. And I think that was the hardest challenge for each and every kid along the way, because they didn't realize it wasn't just about comedy. It really was about being like the next great quadruple threat.
Karen, how old are these participants, and how did you find them?
They're 14 to 17 years old. One of them might have turned 18 since we shot the show. We found them as a nationwide search. You know, we scoured the internet. We had two open casting calls in Los Angeles where people came from all over the country to have the chance to work with Wayne. And like Michelle was saying, we were, you know, I learned a lot about comedy because, you know, we weren't looking just for the funny kid who can crack a joke. Like Michelle was saying, you know, Wayne had a very specific thing he was looking for, and his eye was, you know, particularly a lot different than myself. You know, I thought a lot of the kids were very funny, but he was looking for, like Michelle said, that quadruple, triple threat. And, you know, it took a while. But the six kids we found, I think, are all very talented and have done very well so far.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, what's it like working with Wayne? It just seems that when you watch him on Let's Make a Deal or on this show or the things I've seen him do, he just comes across as, A, very relatable, B, he's really a person of the moment. You know, give him a situation to deal with, he'll do it, whether it's a contestant that may have a secret ambition or a secret, let's make a deal, a secret gift or skill, and he'll just say, okay, let's go with it. Come on and do your thing, whether it's breakdancing or, you know, sing a cappella or something. Not to mention the fact that his improv skills are just incredible.
They're incredible. And Simon, this is exactly what you said. He's very in the moment, and that is how I would explain how it is to work with them. I mean, things he really is impressive when you see him in the moment with the kids, especially what he'll break out and what he'll change in the moment. So if we have something planned and it's not working, I've never seen somebody change so fast and move it in a different direction to make it work. And that was really a remarkable part of the process. But as producers, we all go in wanting to know, okay, this is planned out for this day like this. And it doesn't always turn out that way. And we really did on the fly change so much stuff. And Wayne, as a as a producer and a host really follows his heart and will change really quickly and move in a different direction. And I think that's helpful for a show like this because the kids can feel and feed off that energy too. And they're not afraid to make quick decisions and move and change and be agile. And it's not always easy for a production crew, but we all made it work together. And I think that was the biggest blessing of the whole series, actually.
Yeah. Kevin, how did this series get to BYU TV? We've covered BYU over throughout the years. It seems that they have been very progressive. You know, they're a very unique network. It's still the only national networks put together by a college or a university. Their shows have gotten better and better in terms of quality. They just seem to be willing, given their background, to experiment, to try different things. They're doing a lot more family-friendly stuff now. And in addition to that, every time we talk about a show with the producers there, they love the atmosphere. They love the flexibility that they get from BYU.
We have had such a great experience working with them. They are very creative people and on it, and super pleasant. They were great. So I can't say enough great things about Brian and Andre and the whole team there. They were fantastic to us. And I think they had a creative vision for the show with us, it was a very shared creative vision, which is unique lots of times, you know. So we were all making the same show at the same time. How we got it to them was essentially, you know, we started reaching out to them, I would say, you know, a year and a half or so ago, and they were just kind of on the precipice of moving into, you know, they were getting into more households on television and cable. And we sort of, I won't say cold called them, but we reached out and said, hey, we've got this show, and we got Wayne Brady attached to it. And they came in for a nice meeting, and we pitched it, and they really liked it. And they moved pretty quickly and bought the show. And I think that they saw a big value to having Wayne on their network. You know, he's this, like Michelle mentioned earlier, super family-friendly guy, clean comedian. And, you know, they knew that their audience would respond to him. So, and that whole process went pretty smoothly once we got going.
And I think, too, Kevin, just to speak to your point, we'd been in business so long, Kevin and I as Intuitive Entertainment, and then also Wayne as well. And, man, he'd worked with Mandy for years and years. So they really trusted us and trusted the process and really let us move forward with a creative vision that we shared with them. And that was super helpful.
Mm-hmm. We got Michelle Collins and Kevin Dale. They are the executive producers of Wayne Brady's Comedy IQ, the new BYU television series available all over the country, Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Michelle and Kevin joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Good you're with us as well. Simon Applebaum with you live from somewhere on the other side of the world, namely New York, where it's 47 degrees. It'll be on the breezy side today. Hope wherever you are, you're having a very good Friday. If you're Jewish, you're marking the second day of Passover, night number three coming up. Make it a great one. And if you have a question or comment on any of this with our guest right now, well, make the phone go, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Coming up later this half hour, and before the top of the hour, we've got our new classic trivia question winner. We'll give you who that winner is, what they're getting, and the answer to our question we've been posing over the last week. So stay tuned for that. And coming up after the top of the hour, we will go live to Los Angeles again, and we'll be speaking with the executive producer of the brand new Game Show Network series, Mastermind, which, by the way, next half hour will be wrapping up its first week on Game Show Network. Brandon Huntington will be with us in an exclusive interview, so stay tuned for that. Kay Jennings, by the way, involved with that new Game Show series. Michelle, who are some of the other celebrities that Wayne brought along for this ride?
Oh, gosh, there was a lot of them. There's a lot of, like, dance and internet people. Sinbad was on the show. Warren Pritchett was on the show. Jonathan Mangum is almost on every episode, which is really awesome. Epic Lloyd was on the show. So there's a lot of people that are friends with Wayne that are sprinkled throughout the season, which is really great.
And Colin from Whose Line as well.
Yes, Colin was on too. Yes, yes.
Yep.
So we got both. Let's
so a lot
video
of people from Wayne's
Whose
Line. Yeah, a lot of people from Wayne's life, along his career, they came on and mentored the kids and were with them during the episodes for the challenges. And that was really cool for the kids, too, because they got a lot of history on Wayne. during the process and learned about what he was like coming up in the comedy world. So the kids loved that process too.
Mm-hmm. What's been the early reaction? It's been on now for 4 or 5 days. What's been the reaction so far from BYU's audience?
They've been really positive. Great. I mean, go ahead, Michelle.
It's been really positive. Again, if we go back to that family-friendly thing, people are, I think, craving that now more than ever. I think we could not have aired at a better time. It's really been an awesome time to air this show just because there's so much going on. And I think people need to sit down with their families and watch a lighthearted, fun show.
Yeah, and the talent has really liked the show. So the kids are emailing back saying they just love it. So it's always, it makes a producer happy when your talent is happy with the show. So I got to say, you know, the feedback's been very good.
Mm. What's going to be coming up next Monday? What's the next step for these contestants?
Gosh, they have a challenge.
Yeah, go ahead, Kevin.
Serious challenge. They have to perform at an event, and there's a big twist that I can't reveal. And they are put in a situation where they have to kind of make it all work. We'll say that. Yeah. Can't give anything away, Simon.
Not totally understand.
And throughout the
Michelle.
Just throughout the season, they're put in a lot of different scenarios where they have to perform live, and then they have to perform via video, do a social media challenge. There's a lot of different challenges along the way.
Yeah, and they're performing and doing they're doing their comedy at, you know, pretty iconic places around L.A., like the Improv and places like that. So they really had to step up their game, and, you know, we took them to places where, you know, stars literally have been born. So that's coming up throughout the season as well.
And we should point out that there's some nice prizes awaiting whoever will win this.
Yes, a big cash prize as well as a, we call it kind of a comedian's kit. Essentially, we're giving them all kinds of things that will help them, from computers to recording software to cameras and that sort of thing. Anything that they can go out and then kind of turn themselves into a one-man comedy force or one-woman comedy force. So they have a, you know, it's a nice prize package at the end.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, what's next for both of you? Are there any shows in development, any shows that you were producing before the coronavirus pandemic? Where are we at?
Yes, and we're still going strong with all those shows. We're doing a special on Salt and Peppa. Do you remember them? They're fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing a special on, pardon me?
I remember. I think that either A&E or Lifetime is doing either a made-for-TV movie or miniseries about them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're doing, after that, we're doing a special with Salt and Peppa. It's going to be cutting edge because we're going to be doing it now from their homes because they can't come out of their homes right now, so we can't shoot it. So we're now going to shoot it all via Skype. So it's going to be really, really fun. And we're doing a Netflix series coming up, which we're going to shoot at probably the end of summer now. So we're really excited about that as well.
Kevin, talk about that. Netflix has had a big run with unscripted shows this year. And, of course, Tiger King is the talk of the land, especially in these pandemic times.
Yes, it's so good.
It was a really great show, really great characters, and really great twists and turns. Our show that we're doing for them, which we are really super happy, hasn't been announced yet. It's going to be a little bit more of a, I would say, you know, more akin to like a Discovery Channel type show. So I think they see the value of it because they don't have necessarily a lot of what this type of show is what audience. That this type of show will bring a different audience to Netflix. So we're really excited about that. They've been a great partner so far. And like Michelle said, we would probably be shooting that show in the next 6 weeks or so had not the pandemic started. So we're a casualty of that and waiting for this all clear so we can go up and shoot this.
Well, for both of you, we hope, and for everyone, by the way, in the production community of television, wherever you are, we hope that this pandemic is going to drop to the point where we can get TV production back sooner rather than later.
Yes.
So we're all hoping and hoping and pray on that this weekend. Absolutely. And by the way, if you haven't heard, this Sunday night, Netflix is taking the unusual step of a Tiger King after-show episode hosted by Joel McHale. He's done interviews with many of the people involved, both in front and behind the camera, and that's going to be on Sunday night on Netflix in what is a very unusual step. I think it's the first time in Netflix's history that they've ever premiered anything, special or series, on a Sunday night. Usually it's a Friday. Maybe they've been doing other days of the week, but first time on a Sunday night. This should be a very interesting situation. But so is Wayne Brady's Comedy IQ. You can catch the next episode, number 2, Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on BYU, Brigham University Television. Check your local listings web app. Service available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details or promo online, go to www.byutv.org. It's www.byutv.org. Wayne Brady's Comedy IQ, episode number 2, Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on BYU TV. Michelle Collins, Kevin Dale, thank you very much for joining us. We'd love to have you back anytime on future projects. All the best with you and Wayne and everybody involved. I think this show's a winner, and hope it's going to have a great, great run, not just this year, but future
thank
years.
Thank you, Simon.
And good luck to all the contestants.
Thank you, Simon. Take care.
You're welcome, Michelle and Kevin. You too. Take care. Enjoy the weekend.
See you soon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Michelle Collins and Kevin Dale joining us live from Los Angeles here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Our classic trivia new winner coming your way shortly, but first some more from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you want a very unusual audio experience, try this one. The best-selling author Malcolm Gladwell narrating his own unique book, Talking to Strangers. He posed some very unusual situations, and in this audiobook situation, he not only gives you his voice, but the voice of the people he talked to. Talking to Strangers by Malcolm Gladwell, and that can be one of your free trial books in the coming months if you subscribe to Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment, information, and inspiration. Nearly 200,000 titles to choose from. You listen on any device, and whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn, or iHeartRadio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. Audibletrial.com/televised. Get 3 free audiobooks, 1 month trial, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Remember, 2 of those books are from the growing catalog, fast-growing catalog, of Audible Originals, original audio productions, great one-woman, one-man shows, and the best of Broadway, regional theater, and other great stuff from around the nation. So give yourself, or I'll let you know, this Good Friday, Holy Weekend, the gift of Speak Sound, the sound that has you transform the way you hear the world. Get a free trial of one at audibletrial.com/televised. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week, and I'm happy to say for the first time in about a month, we have a winner, and that winner is Jocelyn Brandeis of Boca Raton, Florida. Jocelyn, congratulations. You're going to win 2 books on the front lines of the television war. That's the book by Yasuni Tony Hirashiki, who's been offering for quite a while, A Legendary War Cameraman's Look at Vietnam, published by Kate Spade, and Alternate Channels, Clear Images on 20th Century Television by one of our guests on Monday, Stephen Capsulo. He was the lead technical consultant on the acclaimed recent Apple TV Plus miniseries Visible out on television. The question we posed on Monday was this. What recent ABC comedy series co-star Jane Levy, now on Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, and Jeremy Sisto, currently on FBI on CBS? Well, the answer, Suburban Toy. That was a comedy by a former Nickelodeon program supplier on ABC from 2011 to 2014. Again, the answer, Jay Levy and Jeremy Sisto starred in Suburbatory. That was the recent ABC comedy series they were in from 2011 to 2014. So, Jocelyn Brandeis of Boca Raton, Florida, congratulations. Both prizes are coming your way to you. Thank you for playing. And we'll tell you on Monday whether we're going to continue our classic trivia question series, given what's going on with the coronavirus pandemic. We'll let you know on Monday. And by the way, if you have an idea for a classic trivia question, we'd love to hear it. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And by the way, if we use your classic trivia question, you get the credit. Also, if you have an idea for a regular feature called The Show to Know, a TV series special that you are looking forward to, that you think deserves more attention, that's not getting it, well, let us know in that same email address, And if we use your suggestion, of course, you get the credit. But you got to play in SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And again, congratulations, Jocelyn Brandeis of Boca Raton, Florida, for being our newest Tomorrow Be Televised Classic Trivia Question winner. When we come back, it's about the top of the hour, and the final episode of week one of Mastermind is about to happen on GSN, the Game Show Network. We've got the executive producer, Brendan Huntington. He's live and waiting for us from Los Angeles, and we'll get to him after we call us at the top of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradiospeakerandtunerradio.com. You're going to reach over 40 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And don't forget, radio show is coming your way tonight, 6 p.m. Pacific. Get some spice of life, great variety on the radio show. Be entertained, especially now these days. Great way to wrap up your Good Friday 2020. It's the radio show tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our 90-minute edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. And one of those of you just joining us at the top of the hour, Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, our second 90-minute episode in a row this week. And we thank you for tuning us into the program All About Television, 47 degrees at the top of the hour. Whether you're tuning us in on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or Tuner Radio, we also welcome you to catching us on replay on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And we got another great guest for you this half hour. So be interactive with us. Make the call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe. You're on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, we got a chat room business for you. So if you're shy about using the phone, use that room. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, at any time, you can have others connect with you by using Facebook Timeline. Click on that Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio speaker, or turn the screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. On Monday, Game Show Network premiered its latest original game. And again, it's a knowledge show called Mastermind. That is not the same show that has been a long-running hit in England, but it's close. And I promise you, there are some brain busters. It also has one of the great brainiacs in game show TV history involved. That's Ken Jennings. It also marked the return of one of my favorite game show hosts of recent years, Brooke Burns from The Chase. She won an Emmy Award nomination for a role in that show with The Beast, and now she is back. And right now, they have just started the final episode of their first week on the air. Joining us live from Los Angeles, an Interrate exclusive, the executive producer of Masterminds, Brendan Huntington. Brendan, welcome in.
Hi, Simon. Hi. Thanks very much for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for taking the time during your first week on the air. How's it been going so far getting Masterminds together?
Oh, it's been great. You know what? It's been a great experience with GSN and with putting the show together this season and through the brain trust at GSN and with the great staff and the likes of Brooke Burns, who's simply amazing and a treasure to work with. You know, it's been a great run, and it's been a great time over the last 6 months.
I keep reminding people when they hear the term Mastermind, it's not exactly the popular British quiz show, which is a brain buster. But this one definitely is. I had a champion episode of it this week, and for sure, particularly given the brainiacs that are involved, this is not your plain old trivia show.
No, not even close. You know, it's been a great process, the development process. It's a fun trivia show for the whole family to learn in something new. It really is a show where, you know, three contestants, three challengers go up against three masterminds, and we do have the GOAT of all time there, and that's Ken Jennings on our masterminds panel. And they take on a series of trivia challenges throughout the course of the show, and over the course of four acts, the player with the most points takes on the mastermind with the most points in a head-to-head competition. And it's unique. In other words, we really start the show off strong with we get people into it. It's a multiple choice in the first round where people get to answer a series of questions, and everybody gets to play in, lock in their answer, and we award points, 100 points per correct answer. And then we move on to a more challenging round because the rest of the show from this point on becomes open-ended, which means no multiple choice. It's just you got to know it in your knowledge base. And as we get into round two, there is something at stake. We are going to eliminate the player and the challenger and the mastermind with the lowest score at the end of this round. And in this round, we really take on some more challenging trivia at this point. You know, the separation between multiple choice and open-ended trivia question is, you know, it can be quantum in terms of your knowledge base. And what happens in this round, we ask a series of questions, the first challenger and the first mastermind to ring in on either side. They get to write in their answer, and if they're correct, they earn 200 points. If they're wrong, 200 points is deducted from their score. At the end of this round, really, it's the two players with the most highest score on each side move on, and the player with the lowest score from the challenger and the mastermind side are eliminated. Which sets up round three. Round three really sort of gets, you know, takes off, and that's where we have them go head-to-head. And, I mean, the challenger will go against the challenger in a speed round where they take on a series of open-ended trivia questions, and basically the first player to ring in gets to answer. If they're right, they'll earn points, and the points increase for every question asked. So the first question is worth 500 points, and it goes up 100 points from there on. So it goes 500, 600, 700, and so on. So there's a great catch-up factor throughout. You're never out of the game until the very last question, practically. And the last player standing at the end of that round will then take on the mastermind. The masterminds will then have to do the exact same style of game, a speed round with new material, and the last mastermind standing will go head-to-head in the fourth and final round against our last standing challenger. And we get to the final round, and what happens in that final round, we have our challenger ask or answer a series of five questions, and we'll record their questions, and then we bring back out the mastermind to ask that person the same questions, and we'll record their questions, and then we go back and we reveal how they did side by side. And it's a very dramatic moment in the show as well. And it lends itself to, you know, it always comes down to the wire whether a challenger will win $10,000 or not. And, you know, these masterminds are tough, you know, from Ken Jennings to Muffin Morocco to Jonathan Korblaw. These are heavy hitting trivia players who really know their stuff. So contestants have to be smart and quick and really have a great vast knowledge base. This is a challenging trivia show. And if they're good and they can manage to be one of our masterminds, then, you know, they can walk away with $10,000. And on top of that, if they beat them, they win $10,000 and they earn the chance to come back tomorrow on the next show to see if they can do it again. And if by some chance they can get through, beat the masterminds three times, three episodes in a row, they will earn a spot as one of the masterminds in future episodes. So there's a lot at stake, and they can win up to $30,000 and become a mastermind if they're really good.
Yeah. Brendan, with all those elements in play, especially given the fact that each round has a different format, how long did it take to develop the series?
You know, we have been going back and forth over the course of, you know, we started back with a best ever trivia show, and through that we sort of had an evolution, and this show took probably 6 to 9 months, I would say, to sort of get this one up and running and really get it to the point that where we felt good and we got it into production. So about 6 to 9 months, give or take.
Did you work on Best Ever?
I did.
So in a way, this is sort of a step up or a sort of offshoot of that show.
Yeah.
Jennings was on that show.
Yeah, it's basically, you know, a retool, it's a reboot, a refresh, if you will, of a show that we thought needed a little bit more spice and energy. And I think Masterminds really brought a new level of challenging shows. You know, there's a lot of trivia shows out there, and I will say that, you know, Jeopardy is the gold standard out there in terms of difficulty. And I think that, you know, what GSN had with The Chase was a very good, difficult show, and I think that we've now stepped it up to that level, that we're trying to, you know, we're filling in that gap that, you know, that other trivia shows don't do because they're usually pop culture. We're not pop culture at all. There isn't pop culture in this show. This is a real trivia, strong trivia, knowledge-based show in the vein of Jeopardy, where you need real intelligence and a vast knowledge. These are intelligent contestants and intelligent trivia experts who are playing this show and taking it on every week. It's a blast to watch, and it's an unbelievable group of people to produce and work with. And some of the nicest masterminds in the world, from Ken Jennings to Muffy to Jonathan, they're just simply amazing people to have in your stable of trivia experts, our masterminds, you know. And I can't say enough about Brooke Burns and her ability to, first of all, read faster than any human alive. She's amazing at what she does in the speed rounds of these shows. But just as a host, she brings it all. She's a great force, a great energy, and a great presence on show. She knows how to control it and run, you know, take charge of the show and deliver the goods and make sure that everybody's engaged from challengers to masterminds to the audience, to the viewing audience as well. So she's really just unbelievable and a pleasure to work with. And she brings her experience from The Chase and from Dog Eat Dog. She has a lot of, you know, good years of experience under her belt.
And as we speak, Masterminds is wrapping up its first week as James Show Network's newest game, and that's 4 p.m. Eastern at Pacific Time. And we've got the executive producer, Brendan Huntington, with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Tell Us. Week number two begins this Monday, again, 4 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. If you have a question or comment for Brendan, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, 1 week from today, you're on Tomorrow We Tell Live, we will have the executive producer, creator, writer, etc., of the new miniseries Paradise Lost, the Southern Gothic series that premieres this Monday on video on demand all over the country through Charter Spectrum Originals, Rose Fishburne. It's Rose Fishburne from Paradise Lost, put together by Paramount Television and anonymous content to Mr. Robot people. It premieres Monday on video on demand systems all over the country through Charter Cable, or otherwise known as Spectrum. And Rose will be with us live as one of our guests a week from today, next Friday, here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. I met Brooke when she did The Chase, when GSN at that time was known as, used to have events here in New York to promote their full schedule for the advertising up front. And I met Brooke and met Mark. Delighted to meet them both. They're marvelous. You got the sense the chemistry was incredibly genuine. Mark was a fantastic person, by the way. And I was thrilled that Brooke did get the Emmy nomination for The Chase. I saw the interview that was just done with her where she had left television to have a baby. Moved, I think, back to Texas. How did you find Brooke and get her back into the swing of things?
Well, I think the Game Show Network, they really had a lot of conversations with her. And, you know, I think it comes second nature to her. For her to do a game show is something that's a great way to get back into the waters and in television. I think that, you know, she's never been really out of it. I have to say that. You know, she was doing movies of the week for different channels and stuff like that. But she, in terms of the game show world, she's just brought it all, you know, she was excited about the show, first of all, and she really liked working with Game Show Network. And I think that the combination and the people we have, you know, including Ken Jennings, really, it was a great combination and a great pairing. And I think that it was a great chemistry with everybody together. And I think it just made it perfect for her to come back in the right time now that her daughter is older and you know, not needing mommy quite as much as, you know, every hour of every minute of every day. But I shouldn't say that. The reality is, you know, I have a young child as well, and it takes up a lot of time, and it's what you want to do. And it's she's fortunate to have that ability to take time to really enjoy that journey for the first 3 years. But getting her back was easy. I think that she was ready to come back, and I think it was the right show. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, the right pieces fell into place and the stars aligned and we got her back.
Yeah. And something just mentioned, though, is to draw out a little more about Brooke. It's really two things. One, she has great empathy for the contestants, and she seems to have semi-empathy for the Brainiacs, but it was a fun semi-empathy, if you will. You could really tell that between her and Mark on The Chase, but also in this way, too, with Masterminds. And one other thing, too, is that she allows, in that first round at least, the Masterminds, after they respond with the correct answer or not, to give a factoid about the answer or about the subject for the benefit of we, the viewers at home. And she seems to treasure that, too.
Yeah, she really does. You know, her empathy is amazing. You know, that is truly genuine. I mean, she's one of these people – behind the scenes, you know, not on set. She is just really a wonderful person. From talking to presidents of networks to the people, you know, to the PAs that get stuff for all of us, she just treats them equally and amazingly. She's just a good human being. And she really loves people. She is really engaging and knows how to warm the room. She lights up the room. I remember a story when she was coming up an elevator and she was coming up with somebody in our casting department and they had never met. She goes, "Oh my God," when the casting director came out to me and said, "Oh my God, she was just amazing. She was just lit up the whole elevator and was so friendly and warm." But that's just who she is. It's just how she is, even if it's in an elevator. And I think that comes across. And she definitely embraces the masterminds, and she definitely loves when they give their factoids, their frill, their information that they know, because these are really smart individuals, people that have studied a lot and embrace trivia and are highly educated, and they have a lot of information locked away up there. And this is their chance to shine and really be able to get it out. And I think for our masterminds, it's also the chance to be able to share their knowledge. You know, it's being able to show off what they know. It's a great avenue and venue for them to really flaunt what they've got at that point. So
you're
wonderful.
Right. She reads the questions. She's always been top to reading the questions, especially when it comes to a clock situation. She just knows how to do it and control the clock and make sure that as much of the question can get in.
I've never seen anybody read that fast outside of an auctioneer, but she is just simply amazing when it comes to reading that fast. You know, outside of the personality, the ability to read fast as she does is just unfathomable. She can knock it out of the park faster than anybody I know, but it makes it really great because that means she can get in a lot of information in a short amount of time. And, you know, points are essential in that third and final round for contestants to see who moves on to the end game. So her ability to do that really lends itself well to this type of show, which she also had some, you know, she had to do some of that in The Chase as well. So she's been trained, and we're reaping the benefits of that time when she was on The Chase.
Yeah. One of the keys to this kind of game show working is the writing of the questions and who puts them together. The Jeopardy people will tell you, Alex Trebek will always say, you know, one secret of Jeopardy is the writing staff and what they go through to create the categories. Win Van Stein's Money, which I'm happy to say is now available on YouTube, is one of my favorite game shows of all time. The first cable game show to win Emmy, and one of the big reasons why was the writing of the questions, the writing of the show, how it was all put together, where you could enjoy it as a game show or a satire of game shows, the way Van Stein was used, you know, putting up $5,000 money every episode. And it seems with Mastermind, same thing. One of the tricks of the show is to come up with a writing team and make sure that they're on target of, hey, this is the kind of questions we want that work for both the contestants and the Brainiacs.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. You know, that's not an easy feat. We went through a lot of development on that to figure out what was the right tone, the right difficulty, knowing that the show starts easier and sort of we want to get people warmed up and into the game and gets progressively harder. And then by the end of the show, it is difficult. I would say the last two or three, you know, oh my gosh, by the second act, you're hitting some really difficult questions. I think that putting together a staff like that was, you know, is not an easy feat. I think we got extremely lucky in the window of opportunity to grab certain writers in town, and having our lead, Terry McDonald, was just absolutely essential to have that in our writer's room to control the material and to make sure that it hits the right tone. And it's a lot of trial and error. We do a lot of rehearsal, a lot of run-throughs, if you will, where we set up the show and we run it with contestants so we understand what it's like. And again, this material is stuff that we never see the light of day for real shows, but it's just for run-through purposes. And we learn the tone. We figure out what's difficult, what's medium, what's easy, and we figure out what's the right tone and right level for all players. And knowing that we're trying to get that across for contestants and who are different levels than Ken Jennings, who is sort of the top of the pile, But we want to challenge Ken. We don't want to make this easy, you know. So Ken, we got him a few times. You know, our goal is to make sure he doesn't get all of them, which is not an easy feat. He's a smart man, as are our other masterminds as well. So it takes a lot to put together a staff like that. That's something that takes time, and it doesn't come together in a day. It takes a few weeks to get people together, and then to figure out the tone takes time as well.
Yeah. By the way, I think Terrence O'Donnell was one of the head writers on Win Van Stein. I think he was the head writer on Win Van Stein's Money. So I wonder if Van Stein, Jimmy Kimmel war stories.
No, he loved it over there. He loved that show, and he also loved The Chase. He was, I think, the head writer on that as well. I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure he was. And so it really was a good team to put together, and Terry and Brooke had worked together very closely on The Chase, and so it was bringing part of the family back together, and it made things very comfortable for her as well as for Terry, and it was a great chemistry. I honestly, you couldn't have wished for a better group of people to be together. It was wonderful, and it's great when everything connects and you find the right rhythm, and they're very tight. You know, production schedules are tight these days, and having the right team in place makes it really amazing. And, you know, we have long days, and it makes the days not go by quickly. So it's nice to have that. And Terry was a wonderful asset as for me, for the team, and for Brooke.
I'll tell you what, I'd love to have Terrence on. I was a big Ben Stein's Money fan and The Chase fan. I'd love to have him on and talk about his experience on all three shows. Cause he really did a marvelous job. And it'd be great for him to come on because Ben Stein's just started a few weeks ago on YouTube. You can now see many of the classic episodes. And also, we got Jimmy Kimmel now doing Millionaire, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Right. Yes. Well, trivia is alive and well, which is great. We love it. You know, in the game show world, you know, trivia games were a hard sell a few years ago, and now that this wave of reboots are coming back from the 70s and 80s and some of the 90s game shows, you know, trivia has come back with a vengeance, which is great. And it's great to see Millionaire come back with Kimmel. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. By the way, we're trying to get one of the executive producers on the show, on our program next week or the week after. Michael Davies, the original executive producer of Millionaire, is one of them. Mike Richards, formerly the executive of The Price is Right, and Let's Make a Deal, who has been on our show several times, who's about to become the executive producer this fall of Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, now with Sony, both doing it, and we hope to get one of them, we hope, on our show in coming. So stay tuned for that. We're working with ABC on that situation. Brandon Huntington is the executive producer of Masterminds, wrapping up its first week as we speak on Game Show Network. It's on weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Week 2 begins on Monday, and as we look for a few more moments here on Tomorrow We Tell Lies this half hour. So if you have a question or comment for him, get it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. I wanted to make sure that we had a few minutes to talk about how this coronavirus pandemic situation could impact the immediate future of game shows. Are you and other game show executive producers discussing at any point, like, when are we going to get back to work? And if we do, how is it going to impact, you know, where we go with game shows?
Well, you know, put it this way. It is such a crazy world in which we live in these days. And the coronavirus is something that I never thought in a million years that we'd be going through this at this point in time in our lifetime. And I think that, you know, let me say it this way. I think what game shows offer is a moment of escapism to get away from the real world. And I think something like Masterminds is simply a wonderful way to shut the real world off, enjoy the moment, spend it with your family, learn something, because it's some great trivia that we have on the show. And what does it do going forward for other game shows? I think that, you know, what is going on, you know, my show is just wrapping up in post-production and things like that. And I think what happens is that, you know, each show will be its own unique thing. And I think every network, from Game Show Network to ABC, you name it, they'll all have a different plan. I think that family viewing is still going to be key. I think that, you know, the likes of all the digital platforms are definitely been have all gone up in the ratings and all those things. I think that the ratings across the board in all platforms are probably doing well, and I'm sort of speaking out of turn a little bit there, but I would imagine that people are watching a lot more TV, and we hope that they find shows, you know, especially like Masterminds, where it is good family viewing. Now that's, you can watch that with your kids to your grandma. It doesn't matter. It's wide open. So, but to go back to your question, it's really about how will each network respond and what it will be the national mandates for how we social distance and how we apply that to the workspace and how much work can be done out of office, if you will, which will be a unique thing. And we'll cross that bridge. I right now don't have to cross that bridge, whereas I know that our other shows that are still semi in production, they're doing some of the writing from remote locations.
Yeah, and you know, Brennan, I really hope that, given the fact in particular Los Angeles and California has really, I think, flattened the curve on this virus, that maybe by the end of this month, May at the latest, they can get back into production. Because this may come down for game shows to a situation by not just network, but production company and by show. You look at The Price is Right. You look at Let's Make a Deal. If you still have this social distancing, you can't do that show the same way you do it now. That audience is critical to both of those programs. You look at Family Feud. That audience feeds off Steve Harvey. The way the families are put together on that stage, it's like if you're the producer of those shows, you do not want this thing to go when you have to start producing shows for the next season.
Yeah, no, I absolutely, and I think that shows that are more audience driven are going to suffer more or have to figure out some new way. While we have an audience, you know, if push came to shove, we could do it without an audience. We don't want to do that, but you know, I think there are other ways of doing it. I think that people have to be creative, and I think that the people that are doing from Feud to Let's Make a Deal to you name it, where you have these audiences that are so important, I think, you know, they'll find a way. They'll be creative in how they do it. I think they have to. And again, every show is unique. I think that, you know, that's the one thing that's so spectacular about what we do for a living is that every show is unique. It's never the same thing over and over. And I think that's the same thing as how you problem solve in the world of game show, because they are so heady and there's a lot of rules, a lot of intricacies. And that's just another layer of it that you just have to figure out. It's not going to be a hurdle. It's just, you know, here's the situation. You got to find a solution.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's hope we don't have to cross that Rubicon. By the way, one of the interesting things about this virus is more people watching game shows. Price is Right, Let's Make a Deal, having the biggest ratings ever. America Says, the reruns on syndication, they hit their highest watermark, a 0.9 rating this past week. Maybe Sony will change that decision and take the reruns off TV stations, maybe keep it on for a second year. It looks like it's starting to get the audience. Anyway,
let's hope so.
Absolutely. Week number two of Masterminds begins this coming Monday, 4 p.m. Pacific time on Game Show Network. Check your locally to where that network is available in your area on cable and satellite. More details online, gsn.com. Brennan Huntington, the executive producer, thank you for joining us. Congrats, everybody, for getting us off the air. Hopefully, the beginning of a wonderful and big run.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Simon.
Same here, Brennan. Take care. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Brennan Huntington, executive producer of Masterminds, hosted by Brooke Burke with Ken Jennings, on weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on GSN. We got to get running. Thanks to all of our guests. Thanks to all of you tuning in. Don't forget, on Monday, we will have Kevin Mainley from Badland, the new Netflix movie, and Don Pastello and Nicole Rose from the very unique programming service on Apple TV, Loop. Robbie Televised was brought today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For our free audiobooks and 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. The music expenses this program are those of the participants, not those of Block Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and iHeartRadio. But to Robbie Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a very safe and peaceful Good Friday, and that's the Passover 2020. We'll be back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Block Talk Radio, Speaker TuneIn Radio, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Remember, please, we will lift this pandemic. We'll do it sooner when you follow those guidelines. Please do so, and invite your neighbors to also, and let's make life the very best it can be under the conditions we are in. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned and live powerfully.